it up, huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we put this stuff on so that we will have some record of the whole thing, what we are going to say. The whole idea here is, also put the lapel on. So the whole idea of this meeting is that it's not me who will be talking all the time. So that would be a boring, that would be definitely a boring meeting.
So Joel is going to talk.
So actually the reason why we got together is that it's about the time to A, make sure that when Petr leaves us, I'm afraid it may happen, right? I mean, you didn't change your mind yet. Or your girlfriend didn't change your mind. So that whatever he's been doing is not forgotten, and then people can stay on his shoulders. And I hope that he won't get out of this problem. But still, we need to continue on this. Yeah. So I think that Joel is my main hope that he's going to pick up the keyword spotting and some of these ideas. And also the reason why Peťa Motlíček is here is that Joel is also getting interested in OPO models of tempo envelope.
Yeah.
And of course, Petr Fosek knows a lot about it, but Peťa Motlíček too. Well, both of you, you know, but you will be here and from different point of view. Peťa Motlíček is working mainly on speech coding. And so this is, I guess this is it. So I guess that really you should be talking more than anybody else because you should be asking questions.
Yeah, that's right.
And so what is it that you need to know? And
I mean, just so what do you know already about, I don't know, how far you were with this? Features or?
So basically I started reading about the features that's taking the long temporal and time frame. It's traps.
Yeah.
And tandem approach.
So he knows.
Yeah.
Subject,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. So then I also started with there was a paper on fitting an AR model to the DCT of a signal. Started with that and slowly getting used to the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To the DCT?
Yeah.
That's
what I think it's a paper by Dan Bliss.
Oh, that's how it started, basically,
yeah.
Because that was Mario Satineos,
yeah.
Yeah, and then Alice.
Yeah.
They had a paper, I believe it was not even, I guess, ASRU or something, right? It was ASRU,
yeah.
But that was the time when they weren't using very long segments.
Yeah, okay.
There was like 50 milliseconds or something that they were playing with at the time. You know? So then the story was that then Mario's presented that at some meeting, and we realized, oh, that might be a cute thing for estimating spectral energies, because that's what we want, and the way we are doing it is kind of, I think it works, but it's a little bit inelegant.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow stupid, so first do the frame-based estimate, and then you get stick to 100 hertz sampling, 10 millisecond sampling, or something, and then you just pick up the trajectory. So Marios was here for half a year, maybe, or even more, and started work with Petr. Just came, so they were working a little bit together. Mainly, Marios was programming in MATLAB, and Petr was putting it into fancy. But then we were hoping to pick up on that a little bit more, and we did, right? You did a little bit of work.
Well, we tried many knobs to tune on that, because you can decide what compression factor and everything. So I tried a little bit, like make these three knobs and try to go through the 3D cage to see what happens in which kind of settings. So this we did, but
and we never published that anywhere, right?
We didn't, because there was still a question that I don't remember right now. Because there was some essential question. I don't remember. I would have to.
Yeah.
And because before we could write anything, I would have to be sure that something is right there. And I couldn't be sure about it at the time. So. And anyway, it takes time, this computation. It's very inefficient. It takes like 100 times more than computing some MFCCs, computing these features, because it's a huge DCT, huge FFT everywhere. Yeah.
We were also doing a silly thing that we were stepping it by 10 milliseconds, right?
Yeah.
at the time.
Yeah, there was no optimization. We just stick to the trap. We wanted to make as close to trap
right.
as possible, which is silly, but
that was a reasonable start, yeah.
Then I continued with another paper that you're mentioning, SP trap. So just moving around with that idea. And also, the main idea today, why I told maybe, is like if you can list down what all things are there to be taken care of, then one by one, because finally, if I find that you have something else. Maybe to list down the things other than what I've already taken from you.
Okay.
And also to discuss them.
So last time we were talking about what? About Gaussians, you have the Gaussians running somehow. Like feature extraction.
Yeah, feature extraction.
And the tandem training also. So you are able to train the network.
So you may be the only one in the whole world now because Qifeng is gone and. And Barry is gone. So Morgan was joking.
From ICSI?
Nobody from they are gone from ICSI. Yeah. Qifeng went to TI, and Barry is at Lawrence Livermore Lab. He basically got a job. He graduated, and he'll be working on things which he cannot talk about. He can't even say it on the microphone here. it's classified more typically. And so Morgan was only half joking. He was somebody was asking him, you were, or somebody was asking him something. There was Matthew, and he said, "Well, probably will be coming to ask you because nobody really knows anymore, at ICSI. So please take."
Who's the one who is now developing the quick netting things? The MLP 4 and.
Well, nobody. That was Barry, and now it's closest to actually Brno is doing a lot of that. Now they picked up the software and they play with these four-layer nets. So it might be that Brno will be soon an ultimate expert on on the whole thing.
We had the experts who made the software run here, you know, Olivier.
Which software? No,
QuickNet.
QuickNet was done. QuickNet itself was done actually a long time ago at ICSI.
Olivier make it run on these machines.
Is that
and
so?
Make the, cross the 2G barrier
good.
Here at the GitHub because we couldn't do something. I don't know what. But he is now good in QuickNet.
Okay, so we have to treat him well.
So I have the feature extraction part where I can get the phoneme posteriors generated through the neural net.
Great. So
then I think
you just miss the backend, which
yeah.
is easy because it's HTK,
yeah.
it's everyone knows.
Yeah, right? But HTK through for some other task I have run HTK. So
okay.
I have the general field, but maybe I can take the entire setup from you and run it once on my existing profile.
Yeah, okay. And you just need from us to hear what are the other front ends and other features to choose something.
Then I think I can share what I can have read.
Well, the whole idea then is that you start playing with it, right?
Yeah.
And you...
Yes.
Yeah, and...
Okay, so how do we do it? Should I list it or...
Maybe, that might be the...
First is the feature extraction that we have already taken, then the backend for that. Then
well,
yeah,
like I distinguish between feature extraction and then the MLP because you feed something to the MLP which are not the waves.
Okay.
So well, that's what I call it. And then the backend. But okay, so what I have here, what I've been working on since I was here was MFC CPLP, which is always needed for comparison purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Then traps with Warrior's Lens, and also you know traps now.
Yeah, traps I know, but with various?
With Warrior's Lens.
Okay.
Like, we were trying to start from the ultimate length of one frame up to 1 second or even more, but it was. So this also, then we applied the DCT on the trap itself. Which is something like the Gaussians, applying some filtering basically the trap. So this is mainly Kanta who was doing this. So this is related to traps. I was also trying warping.
Okay.
Means if you have a second, which is 101 samples, I was just keeping the central 10 samples, and then I was throwing away some of them, you know, like resampling this. this 1 second of the trap to something which I preserved all the points in the center and just picked every 10th point at the boundary,
mm-hmm.
which means the trap 101 trap trajectory shrink to say 15 points with still preserving the maximum resolution at the center and throwing away most of the points near the boundary. So this I was trying. So these I have some results on. So these are traps, then the Gauss traps.
Okay.
Then tandem system.
Okay.
The tandem you plus minus have because that's just the PLPs.
Okay.
And then there is a training with MLP.
Okay.
It's taking some context of these PLP coefficients.
Uh-huh.
So it's like feeding PLPs or LFPs.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. To MLP and taking some contact. This is the tandem. So this setup we also have here.
Okay.
I didn't experiment with this, but maybe some more results. It's Hemant who has the results on tandem, I guess.
He used to have before he lost all
yeah.
the data.
but
he will have it again.
I think the most important results are already in the thesis, right? So is there somewhere? So this is tandem. Then what? And then there is the GLP. Then we can
yeah.
talk more about
yeah.
it. Which I have more experiments
okay.
on. Also this working and compression and all these
nice.
Things.
So compression basically you are looking at.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm using that for a different reason, right? So it's speech coding. So what is the task is usually just take the speech, of course, somehow to encode it into as small number of bits as possible, and with a reasonable quality, of course, and again to decode it.
Okay.
And I'm using FDLP for that, still playing with more or less 1 second long segment,
mm-hmm.
so just dividing the speech into 1 second frames,
okay.
doing DCT,
mm-hmm.
it's just the standard work, and then doing some compression. And computation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you're doing the same, no?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But you just didn't talk about.
Yeah, yeah. You take the DCT and you just divide it into several subbands, frequency bands, with a different.
And by the way, you don't do the overlap on the subbands, no?
I do.
Yeah, but you don't do the overlap on the tandem.
No.
Yeah.
I don't do.
Okay.
You
so
don't
that's
need
the difference.
For compression, you're basically doing.
Yeah, just 1 second without overlapping. But in frequency domain, there is a overlap because you can choose which filters you want,
yeah.
more or less, or just trajectories of those bands. So there is overlapping. I'm using those Gaussian filters or classical, those trapezoidal,
mm-hmm.
like in MSCCs,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yeah.
then processing each. Yeah, Pio.
MSCC, yeah, triangles.
Okay, triangles, that one. Then I'm doing independent processing of each frequency band.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm computing that Hilbert envelope,
okay.
which is just the envelope of some temporal trajectory. And more or less you can divide this into a Hilbert envelope, Hilbert carrier, which is something like LP, a linear prediction envelope,
mm-hmm.
outer risk model, and excitation signal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are two parts or items you need somehow to encode if you want again to get original speech or
mm-hmm.
reasonable quality.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some compression factor, which is again when you're computing that autoregressive model
mm-hmm.
from FDLP, you can compress the spectrum somehow in such a way that you rather preserve those even also those dips, not only peaks.
Mm-hmm.
In the spectrum,
okay.
and it sounds better for some kind of.
You know about this compression
signals.
Home
yeah.
okay.
He knows more than I do.
he's new. He's
that's
so it's
good.
Kind of logarithm when you use logarithm for MSCCs, right? So it's again a compression factor sometimes, and but then you have to uncompress it again,
mm-hmm.
of course, to get back the speech. And there are other things which
mm-hmm.
I'm doing, but it's not related to speech recognition so much.
But certainly when it comes to like the open modeling of temporal trajectories, even if Peter Fosek is not here, you probably know a lot about it by now.
Well, what?
No, that approximating Hilbert envelope
right.
by open model.
What?
FDLP. When you are not here, that Peter Motlicek knows enough about that too, because
it's more or less the same approach, right?
Different application, different different software or something.
Just in the speech synthesis or coding did you try to play with the notes somewhere?
With what?
The compression number of bands and
number of bands and
what you were playing with and what are the results, like what to use.
You know, that's the problem for speech coding, because I don't have results like in speech recognition.
Yeah,
so
of course.
Because I have to listen to it and...
I'm fine with them, because...
So now what I'm using are 15 bands, which seems to me, 15 frequency bands, which seems to me quite reasonable. We can go down till like 12 and still okay, I would say, but then you start hearing difference. Or also, that's another problem. Once you can go down with frequency bands, then you will have much more complicated that, let's say, excitation signal or that carrier.
If you go down?
Yeah,
if you make broader bands.
Broader bands.
Because when the band is narrow, the excitation is close, the carrier is close to sinusoid, basically, or cosinusoid.
Yeah. So there's more and more frequency components, let's say, something like that. In one process.
So you want to say that the LPC is not able to fit it so that the residual was...
No, LPC will maybe, but then you have still another part, something like a source and a filter. So when you are doing speech pooling or...
You may almost want to use the whiteboard, and that's why we have it here, right? So that...
So can you remove this when you're doing this clip?
I
don't think so.
I
think no, we are wired.
It's the same like when you are doing LP synthesis, right? So you've got source signal. I don't know source.
I think you have to push it as much as possible.
And then there is some filter, which is that one divided by AZ, and that's it. And the source can be a noise signal, or it can be some. Sequence of what is that?
Pulses,
right?
This is LP. This is a standard time domain LP, right?
So it's more or less the same what I'm doing. So this is some envelope, which is in our case related to Hilbert envelope, and this is a source signal, which is Hilbert carrier.
But since you are in a different domain, this is here you are in time domain, right? But where you are really in a frequency domain. So the lines turn into signs, right?
Right.
And you and since
exactly.
this I mean,
going to be
because
right.
this spectrum is also line spectrum, right? I mean, all components. So if you are then if you are in a frequency, your source looks like this.
Yeah. So more or less, if we can plot it. So what we can see is some Hilbert envelope like this, and then there is that Hilbert carrier, or this is not Hilbert carrier, but this is the signal which we get from. One frequency band. So you compute BCP, right? From
this is the subband.
Time
signal.
Right.
And what we get from that is this Hilbert envelope, right?
So you know that.
And the second, which should be that carrier, should be something like this. It's just really close to cosine. You might see.
Okay.
To do it properly, right? And this is what you also have to somehow transmit, or at least try to transmit. In order to get
and this is
I
where
thinking residual in LPC fit of the Hilbert envelope. Not this. I was not thinking of this at all before. You know.
Right.
That was three things. First, you have to encode this, then the LPC coefficients, and the residual of the LPC.
No, I don't need like LPC. No.
This
no.
is later residual for.
This is a residual for.
Yeah. In the for
this
frequency.
Is the residual?
Yeah, I just want to transmit this signal, right? It's
yeah.
And what you need is this envelope and this one carrier, and you again get the same signal, this shape.
Okay.
IDCP.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem currently is that the carrier is actually not cosine, but something a little bit more
example, for
interesting.
If you have a very good music signal, which is very periodic, you can already see something like is one big.
And if the frequency doesn't change over the length of the.
Doesn't change. It's related to
yeah.
That frequency of the broadband or
yes.
If you have those filters, which are
yeah.
Wider and wider, this is that center frequency, which is somehow related to this one.
Okay.
So then you can transmit.
So the broader bands. The what on this picture?
It's worse and worse. Then you don't see any.
Well, fortunately, because of because of properties of hearing, more or less, for the higher bands, if you put in just some garbage, some noise, it doesn't really matter all that much. It sounds a little bit worse, but it's not a big tragedy. Where you really, if you want to do a good voice speech, you want to get the lower bands. Correct. And if you put in noise all together,
everywhere.
It sounds like a whispered speech,
it
but you understand
like
perfect.
LPC when you excited by noise.
By noise.
It's better, I would
yeah.
say. Better quality. Definitely better quality. It will lower every play, but that's
so now we have to kill them both, because, I mean, we gave all the secrets away. I mean,
yeah.
Qualcomm is going to...
The objective measure you use for
objective measure
reconstructed signal and
those distances, spectral distances. Well, it didn't work so properly, so well. I mean,
if Motorola or Nokia gets hold of this tape,
mm-hmm.
then we are in trouble. Hopefully, by then it will be protected and and everything, right?
Well, the hardware just said that we shouldn't talk about confidential.
It's. But listen, this is a science. I mean, it's
yeah.
a confidential to the extent that we are not. Publishing it yet, but we of course will, and we have to make sure that if Qualcomm has an interest, who's funding the work, they have to have a chance to patent it or something. That's a lot. Or this is not a public presentation,
right.
So this is not even a problem.
Yeah, sure.
The only problem would be if, but you know, nobody can beat. Petr Motlíček anymore. I mean, if Nokia knows everything, if you sell it tomorrow, who did you work for? HP. They will take half a year before they will even realize what it is, and by then, so it's no problem. Okay, so that's.
Okay, so there is a compromise between the lower bands, the worse. Stuff you just said, and the more bands, the more coefficients they transmit.
Right.
So 15
yeah.
is about okay.
Yeah, yeah. Also, there are papers about it that if you have like 12 frequency bands, it's somehow optimal.
Okay. So this, and then there is a compression.
Compression is only to relate to somehow fit that Hilbert envelope.
To get there.
So that you get, so
yeah.
that you can modulate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you can modulate better. There is no echo or some kind of error bands in the signal. If you really go down with that compression factor to like 0.1, 1.1, 0.1.
Okay. So what is the compression factor you're getting here?
When you when you compress the effectively the signal which we are modeling,
right.
And so then you get a fit into compressed signal.
Okay.
Essentially, if you were in a spectral domain, you would compress the power spectrum. Here you compress the what the city of the signal,
right?
And so then your predictor is fitting actually this compressed signal, but you know how much it was compressed, so you can always expand it back, so that you get a fit to the original thing, except that the fit is different, because it basically this Opal modeling has a different properties. It's
yeah, you just preserve something different.
So we can tell you a little bit more about that. This is a sort of old technique. Which
yeah, I think in the Mackin papers or something.
That was my thesis, even PhD thesis, actually. There's no.
I think
it was STLP, it was called Spectral Transform Linear Prediction. It was my first ICAS paper ever. It was 1983 Boston. You guys were still in kindergarten, right?
Right. More or less.
Oh, this is terrible. But nobody was using it for anything, except it was cute, but that was about it. But now it seems like that is, since what we are doing here, we are, normal LPC is fitting peaks, right?
Yes.
But when you are modeling Hilbert envelope, you don't necessarily want to fit only peaks.
Yes.
You sometimes want to get a basically good estimate of the envelope.
Mm.
So that helps you, because in this this spectral transform allows you to find the right balance between how well it fits peaks, how well it fits dips, and sort of that. So this is. So I think that basically, I don't know what else. I mean, you should be asking questions, right?
Yeah.
So.
One thing I wanted to know is a good literature on these lines. Where you started
well,
with,
I think you can really take those papers from Marius.
Yeah.
About
that's
FELP.
One.
About
one.
That's really.
Yes.
I have two.
This is Sapa or
Sapa, and then this. There are two papers. In one is in Sapa. One is in the Interspeech.
In
Jeju, and one was in the ASRU.
Yes.
It was from Virgin Islands.
What is SAPA?
SAPA was.
I
tell you what it stands for: statistic and something and perceptual approaches. I was on the organizing committee. I should know, but statistic and something approaches. Perceptual and statistics and perceptual approaches. There was,
but there are also reports from IDIAP, I think. At least two reports from Marius seem to be.
But they are the same, right?
Yeah,
as
they
a,
are more
as
less,
a, and then same. Also, is there is some more work actually can be traced down. I think the reading Les Atlases papers are very good, because Les Atlas is doing a lot of work on coding. In this domain, he doesn't use OPOL model, but he uses DCT, and then he and Les is excellent guy. He's a very good very good theoretician. Basically, he's a Stanford guy, and really he likes to write things well.
Yeah.
So he's very rigorous, as opposed to me, for instance.
Yeah,
so if you read that, then you know that there are no errors.
Sometimes
and
unreadable.
Yeah, but.
Difficult,
so whatever you get hands on from Les Atlas for over past 5 years regarding this, 2 years ago, last year, on one of the ICASPs, he had like five papers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
various aspects of this, because
I think this year on Interspeech there was one paper, but it was regarding to speech recognition.
Okay.
Somehow.
Is that so? I didn't even see it.
Yeah. It was not something like speech coding or DCT transforms, nothing like that.
Okay.
So.
Also, I can before Marius left, he had actually left himself, but all the files are here.
Mm-hmm.
And also, all the MATLAB implementations of these are here, and there is also one big table that he used
to fill in with all kinds of parameters.
Yeah, he was also playing with all these compression factors and lengths of the.
Excel,
which you can
look at. All kinds of speech recognition results, right?
Yeah.
It was the first time you start using the cluster, I remember, or some parallel processing.
It
was a big thing here.
It took a huge amount of time. And he was the first one to realize that these guys are pretty slow to do these.
Everybody
things.
Hated him temporarily, I remember.
He just put here the PMake environment, and he didn't stick to any cluster or anything. He just put PMake and write on all the machines here.
Uh-huh.
So at some point, he was using all the available memory by any mistake, you know. So in the morning, all the machines were just stuck. No one could ever.
Yeah, I remember Frank came to me and says, if everybody was computing like Marius, we would be all dead. And I said, Frank, but I want everybody to compute like Marius.
Right.
So these results, because he was doing everything in MATLAB, so it was, again, 10 times more demanding than C++, and then.
Maybe, yes, maybe no, it's hard to say. No, it's not so bad with it. He really liked it well.
But he did. He wrote it well,
he did,
anyway,
I think so.
Anyway, because
sure.
In the code that I wrote, I was like playing also with if the matrix is sparse, I really don't use it all. I just multiply from here to here, from here to
right.
here, not the matrix, my matrix, and then I just optimized it a bit. And also BLAS libraries and all these things, but okay. No,
whatever, that's
whatever.
Not important.
Well, it is important in a way. I mean, this is something which we never talk about, right? Like how much work Tata
Oh yeah,
Kurian
sure, it is important for
here,
history,
because
but
it's true
you
is
know.
that the things sped up tremendously since I came. I mean, of course, partially because they started to buy some more hardware, but also some at least some people basically know how to
Yeah, but there's
write
a
faster programs.
backend recognizer which I will give you, which is turnaround of 18 minutes or
Oh, this is
from
fantastic.
11 to 15 minutes. Normally it would
And
take
it
an
used to be
hour
two
and a
days, yeah.
half. Yeah, no, not today. It was over 1 hour. It's just like 10 times less, maybe, or 5 to 10 times less. But still you can 5 times more.
So do you already know what is the situation with you? You go back to Prague for a while, and then did you get anything in France? I got some ideas, by the way.
Right. I have to talk to you about this. I don't know. I didn't write anything. I didn't even know to English or not. I just talked to one girl there, which told me that he would be possibly able to find me a job there. Any job, like related maybe to field, but job, not anything, any research.
That's
So
it
if
would be a
nothing,
pity,
maybe
right?
then I could be able to get a job.
You
So.
so you don't die of hunger.
Yeah,
That's
probably. Yeah, but
yeah, that's not the idea. No,
yeah.
we'll try something. See what we can do. So, George, your main basically thing is, as I told you to when we were walking, that whatever Tata did, that it doesn't die,
Yeah.
but it carries, and obviously. We very much hope that you get into that and you get excited and you do more and or maybe even different things.
We hope that
But
you find out that everything was wrong and that the potential
that
of
it
my
actually
failure,
works.
yeah, it actually was ridiculous. Yeah.
It's not that it
Right.
doesn't work.
Oh, but after you find out the bug, then it will be better. So, we will send you the papers related, and I will point you to all the codes which I have.
Yeah, but regarding this FDLP,
And
yes,
this is
we will
all on
do
the
that.
record, so
He
if
doesn't
you
have
can
to
hold
send me
him
anything.
to his word.
Yes, actually, I can just now tell the locations of all the files, and you can
rewind,
rewind.
browse through the meeting.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. How are we doing time-wise? Yeah, I think half hour is fine, right? But you will be here until end of
Yeah, till 24 is the Friday.
November.
November.
Breaks my heart. It's just like I will just start teaching and then I'll need an assistant.
November
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it hopefully it makes a pay some extra. So
What
we'll
are you
see.
going to talk or to teach?
I
It's
have
just a
a
press and fill
speech.
class.
Well, it's co actually a combination of really combination of two classes I was giving at OGI, which is like speech processing and perception. And so I try to put it together so that it makes some sense.
Do you already know how many students you have?
No,
No.
no. I should have at least four because this is a graduate school. I have one, right?
Oh, it's
Guaranteed.
graduate.
I have
Oh,
one
graduate.
guaranteed that I don't know if anybody else is.
Well, I think Guillermo was thinking
Three
about.
and four credits or a total of four?
Sorry,
Sorry.
I don't know. I don't know if it needs to be for credit or not. I don't know how much I like people without not taking it for credit because then they just sit there and having a good time. But it's okay. No, it's okay.
Because in IAS it's four credits. Guillermo is taking, I think he
Guillermo
was
is taking,
taking.
very good. And so I have already have at least two. Yeah, I probably get four.
Well, I would like to go there, but not just for credits, just maybe to hear something new.
And it's possible, that's for sure. I mean, that's okay.
So last time it was, for me it was good, the course, from one special reason, because when there were the floods in Turkey, I lost all my papers from my school, all the exercise books. How to say this?
Yeah, the notebooks.
No, yeah, all the notepads and everything. All notes from any courses, so I was remembering what I was learned,
but that's
what I
good, you
was
know.
Taught at the time, so I have it now back, at least partially. Because all the algorithms you were speaking about.
I didn't get into too many things, actually. You know, the reason was that at the time we thought, I was teaching with Hervé, and we thought we have much more time, and suddenly we ran out of time, basically, because what happened was that it was supposed to be 3-hour lecture, it was only 2-hour lecture, and Hervé assumed that it's going to run longer, or I don't know what he assumed, but suddenly he said, well, so where are you? I said, well, I'm just slowly getting into LPC. He said, well, but we have only 3 more lectures. I have to teach HMM and everything. So the LPC part was like I had to do it in 1 hour. And then everybody was totally confused, I guess. And
also in the lab class.
Yeah, they were also confused.
They didn't know anything about it, and they just folded
paper. Yeah.
Where was this?
It was a DBFL, let's see. Okay, guys, I think that unless somebody has still anything incredibly important.
Yeah, but I can come.
Right, it's a little bit up to you. You have to bug these people, especially Peter, because to make sure that.
Anyway, after I'm back, I'll be still on Skype and everything.
Yeah.
So I told them to contact me until, I don't know, May next year. So.
Do you think that it will be done by May? Is it planned?
Well, I would like to.
I think so. Yeah, we made a mistake, I tell you. I think if I had to do it again, we made a mistake. We should have registered you here at EPFL. You would have had a degree by now for EPFL. Yeah, that was a mistake.
I would have to study here for that long time, no?
3 years. You were here. How long you were here? 2 years?
2 years, yeah. I would have to stay one more.
Well,
it would be good reason for better. I have to stay here.
Right.
So is she getting another position there, or what is that?
Yeah.
Boy, I, you know, what a boyfriend, huh?
And she's starting a lot there.
Oh, I see, so that's good.
It's a great opportunity for her,
yeah.
But the problem is then she will go back and there's a family issue. For girls, it's always the thing, because she has to break for some time, at least a little, but has to break, and in science it's not that easy.
I know, yeah. Okay.
So in case I need something on this ELP, I
come to you. Oh, sure.
Otherwise, I'm also much more available than I was. I mean, when you came, it was just like one of the craziest times of this year. It's not that I was very productive, that I was doing anything useful, but it's just like, it's a little bit like writing thesis all the time, rewriting and make little changes and
yeah, but I think definitely you are the best person in here to availability of you. Because if I want to go to heaven, I probably call secretary.
He has many more people to take care of. Yeah.
There was no. Every time I came to you, you were available.
Well, I try to be because you know, I mean, this is also my livelihood, right, students? So I have to make sure that if they need to know something, that so feel free, basically, to stop by anytime. It's not that I know everything, but if I know. I think I sort of know a little bit like what you guys were doing, right?
Okay,
but not only every detail, obviously.
You know the core, which we don't remember anymore.
You don't know why you are doing it anymore.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah. Oh boy. Oops. Okay, I think my mic is falling, so I think we go, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Oops, I have to take this off, I see. old enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jedno se na ty punčíky. A ty bylo určitě na tisky nějaké spíš o tom?
Určitě.